This is the Conway and Carolla Show.
I'll be high as a kite. We'll see how it goes.
With special babbling sidekick, Danny Bonaducci.
Really?
And an occasional appearance by Tom Likas.
Yes.
And also Frosty, Adi, or Frank.
Really?
Maybe even John and Jeff, if they're here early.
Finland?
All right, welcome everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live on 97.1 Free FM on every Friday. We promise you, if he's in town and I'm on the air, Adam Carolla, everybody. Adam, how are you, sir?
Timmy, it's great to finally get back onto the radio after 6 hours.
Back on the schedule, huh?
Just clawing for some mic time.
Hey, I saw something today, and I thought I'd bring this up. And this has probably happened to you, but you know a guy for like 5 or 6 years, and he seems like, a decent guy. He's probably got a husband, wife and a couple of kids or whatever. And all of a sudden, he sports something pink, either a pink Lacoste or a pink dress shirt. And you're like, huh?
Yeah, and you're wondering, how long has this been in your arsenal? Like, is this a new buy? Or is this a WMD that I wasn't aware of, that you unearthed? And by the way, you wait to your 44th birthday to pop the collar on the Izod shirt and go out with the pink thing on? It's weird, too, because, like, pink and purple are the two colors where if you don't commit to them early and often, you can't just trot them out somewhere right. In midlife.
Right. I have nothing in my wardrobe that is pink. Nothing.
It's really the equivalent to the cowboy boot, which is if you have not rocked that look from 0 to 40, you can't just start fresh at 41. Right. If you ever see a good friend of yours wearing cowboy boots who's never been worn, and it's like, hey, Hoss, how was the drive?
Right. Yeah, you got to go with what got you there.
Right.
After about age 28, you can't wear anything new.
No, and look, and also, lock off the look somewhere around, your junior year of college and never worry about it again.
Right.
Because everybody has that shoebox with the horrible pictures where you look like you were in the band, the Romantics, in, 1983. Right. And, you went through your new wave phase and you went through your punk phase. No phases.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like this is, I'm going to tell my daughter, when she's 11 and she's going crazy for the next Jonas Brothers thing, look, when you go through your punk phase in about 5 years, I'm going to trot these pictures out.
Right, exactly.
Of you kissing the Jonas Brothers poster, and you're not going to like it.
Right.
Establish a look and just stick with it.
And go with it. This happened. I did this the other day, and we talked about this.
Wait a minute, Timmy. I got to tell you this.
Yes,
one of the other ones. Ever have anyone pull this one on you? The guy who you've known as Chris for 35 years is starting to go by Christopher?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Or the guy who's, 49, 50 years old and still goes by Robbie or Billy.
Right. The whole thing about the changed name is that's fine with every new person you meet after you decided to go by Christopher. But no changes. It's like the NHL with the helmet rule.
Right. Yeah.
I'm grandfathered into Chris.
Right, exactly.
I don't have to wear the lid. I was in the league before they made the change.
Right. Speaking of helmets, when I used to ride my bike around in third grade, I had a Schwinn with a banana seat. Mm. And you only ride the Schwinn around or your bike around because you look cool, right?
Right.
And I was sporting a look that couldn't take any more hits of uncool attire. So if I was riding around today with that Schwinn and a bike helmet, it would be game over with the chicks.
Right.
I mean, my look couldn't absorb anything geekier.
Yeah, you're what we call critical saturation level with the geeky look.
Right.
One set of horn-rimmed glasses or a briefcase or some leather-soled shoes, and you would have been right over the edge.
Right. I would have gotten my ass kicked every day.
Well,
I was just on the cusp.
I just had this weird flash. I just had this weird concept. But when we were kids, seeing a kid riding around on a bicycle with a helmet would be as weird as seeing somebody drive a car now with a helmet on. You'd be like, what the F are you, where are you going? To some sort of demolition derby? No. driving my car. Yeah. Where? Off a cliff? Like, it would have been just as dumbfounding, right, if you saw a kid with a helmet?
But I wonder if a cop pulls over a guy nowadays, he's driving a convertible around, and he's got a helmet on. Does the cop, like, give him some respect that he's trying to protect his noggin, or does he write him up an instant ticket for being an a-hole?
I would write him the a-hole ticket. I don't know, by the way, you know, if you're required, we have helmet laws for motorcycles. We should have helmet laws for convertibles.
Oh, absolutely.
Too, and actually, I'll amend it, because any new car has a rollover system.
Right.
Literally a bar that comes shooting out that stops you from hitting your noggin on the pavement. But any car, any convertible pre, you know, 1995 is not going to have one of those.
No.
So they should be written up.
And, you know, speaking
of... No, they should have to wear old-time aviator helmets. You know, leather with the goggles.
Right. You know, speaking of motorcyclists, I saw this on the 101 freeway today, where two guys were on a motorcycle. Two grown men were on a motorcycle.
Yeah.
And now when there's a chick on the back, she can, you know, bear hug the guy's waist.
Right.
But when it's a guy, he's got to, you know, hold on to the back or hold on to the side somewhere. And there's no real leverage there. If they go around a turn, he's gone.
Well, I'll tell you, there's a little rule of thumb I use, and it'll solve just about any one of life's conundrums. All you have to do is think either black, gay, or drugs. And when you do that thing where you go, like, who the hell would rent a set of 22-inch spinner rims for their car? Renting rims? Who's going to rent rims?
Right.
I'm not saying which one you fill into that gap.
Right.
But it will clear a lot of things up. But believe me, between black, gay, and drugs, like when you go, who would use that? Who would buy that? Why would this do? Who's going to do? Just, I'm telling you, use one of those three. And any time you ask who rents to own furniture or who uses one of these 99-cent wake-up calls that they advertise, don't you have an alarm clock? Or what two guys would be? That could be gay or drugs, by the way.
Right.
Or gay and drugs.
You know, I went to rent furniture when we moved, because we had a wedding pretty quickly and we moved and I didn't have time to buy a couch. So I wanted to rent one for the weekend. You know, I rent a couch and a chair. And when I went to the...
Wait a minute, Tim, you're shooting holes in my black, gay, or drugs.
I was gay on drugs, though.
Oh, okay. Right.
But when I went in to rent this couch for a weekend, it was like $60 or so, right next to it, a toaster for $3 a month.
That's my point. Like, right. Something,
who's doing that?
You could get at a yard sale for $250, right?
Right, exactly. And it's a used toaster.
It's like I said, like it when you drive down Ventura Boulevard, there's a place right in the heart of you know, Ventura Boulevard and Sherman Oaks, and it says Simply Incense and Sand Candles. and there's 2,500 square feet of prime real estate there, and you're thinking, what the, how many units? How could you, the rent alone must be $9,000 a month on that place with that, what, how many, did you keep driving?
Right.
That one may be drugs, that could be gay or drugs too, it's not black, but the point is, there's a lot of that in your life where you go, what the F?
Right,
what,
exactly.
How does that work?
And you do a quick customer count, and it's just the two guys working there.
Right.
And they're staring at the front door.
Right,
you know?
And it's always the same two guys, and they're always staring at the front door, and there's never, never any traffic going through the place. So how does that work?
Right. I don't know, man.
And you ever see those businesses where you're like, how much did you think you were going to make when you got started?
Right.
the lanyard store. Just lanyards.
Yeah, a guy had a dream, man. But it's one of the many dreams in his life that have been squashed.
Evidently. Or there's the other, there's one more you could add to this list, which is rich husband who doesn't care.
Yeah, those are the stores on Ventura Boulevard between Whitsitt and Laurel.
Right. The chick's like, I want to open a linen shop.
Right.
And the guy's like, yeah, they have one. It's called Strouds. It's across the street. No, no. I mean a real linen shop. What do you mean real linen? I'm talking about high-end linen. Who's going to pay $1,800 for sheets and pillowcase? Believe me, they're out there.
Yeah, right.
And this guy's some kind of an attorney who's probably banging someone on the side, doesn't really want to deal with it. He's just going to write it off.
Yeah, he just wants her out of there.
He gets her out of there.
Yeah, exactly.
Every travel agent, by the way, that's the situation.
Right. You know, Adam Carolla's with us, and we all do things that make us feel better, and while giving the high sign to the guy that we know, you know, that what he's doing is decent, and we're not trying to F him up on purpose. For instance, I was at Subway the other day, and I was ordering my sandwich, and another guy came out and started mopping the place.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the floor is wet between my sandwich and the front door.
Mm-hmm.
So I had to do the Pink Panther walk across the floor just to show the guy that, hey, I know you're cool and I'm an a-hole, but I'm not sure how this Pink Panther walk is going to help me on my tippy toes because you're still going to have to go over all these footprints.
Right.
But I'm giving the high sign that I know that you mopped.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just the acknowledgement of I've seen what you've done. I'm going to F it up, but I'm aware that I'm effing it up.
Right.
That is, I do like that Pink Panther move. Way up on the balls of your feet. You try to make as little impact as possible.
And you try to skate around the perimeter.
Yeah.
Like that's not as tough for him to mop under the tables to try to get your footprints.
When I used to work with McDonald's on said Ventura Boulevard, that was my gig, doing a sweep and a mop of the dining area.
Jesus. You know what else I don't do is, if a guy's changing the trash can, I don't pile on and throw more crap while he's doing that.
When I was at the McDonald's, a guy threw his watch into the garbage can, and I had to go sift through the dumpster to go look for it.
Jesus Christ.
Oh, you want to talk about crap detail. And by the way, no tip.
No, is that right?
Well, you know how you tip for just about everything now?
Right.
You just a nonstop tipping machine, and it's always 20s. It's 20s. It's 20s getting peeled off because that's what comes out of the ATM.
Right.
And you don't want to hang, you know, the valet guy, the valet was $7. You would have given him $5 worth of tip.
Right.
So you're already at $12. But you don't want to hang out and look like a cheap ass, so you just give him the $20 and you keep moving.
Right. Yeah, the guy that brings your bags up, you know, to the room.
Well,
that was always a 10 growing up, but now it's a 20, or else you know, he knows what room you're in.
You know what the bad one is? I don't know if you've experienced this one, but if you do a little traveling for business and a car picks you up, half the time the guy who's driving you is not the guy who meets you at the baggage carousel.
Oh yeah, no, and he wants a bump too.
That's the liaison.
Right.
That's the in between.
Right.
That's the guy who mules you over to the guy with the town car. So that guy needs something, and then the town car guy.
Yeah. And you got to give the town car guy $50.
Oh, no. I give him 20 because they say the tip's included.
Oh, I see.
But you know what they should do with all that? Because whenever they do that crap where they send the town car to come pick you up, the tip is included except for... What they don't include is that weird, uncomfortable silence that you have when you're standing by the trunk of the guy's car in front of the house. He now knows your address, and you give him the, well, all righty then. You ask him some stupid question about L.A., even though you've only been gone for 19 hours. How's it been good over here? Been everything good here? Everything, as if he's holding down the fort. While you're in Vegas for 19 hours.
And then you got to give him the cheap line of, hey, they took care of you, right?
Right.
We're
square. You know what they should do? If the tip's included, instead of including it, give it to me. Let me hand it to him.
Right, exactly.
Because there's no way you're just going to walk. I don't care if they included a $5,000 tip for a ride from LAX to North Hollywood. You'd still have to flip the guy $20.
Right.
Physically need to hand him something.
Right, exactly. Hey, now, when you went to a school in North Hollywood, right? Did you go to elementary school?
By the way, I went to Walter Reed Junior High.
Wow, look at you.
I went to the high school that McCain showed in his slideshow.
Wow.
He was trying to show Walter Reed Military Hospital.
Oh, is it, and he screwed that up, huh?
Yeah, it was a big story. They effed up, and they showed a picture of the outside of my junior high.
Wow.
Yeah, and then I went to North Hollywood High.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't know if you did this as a kid, but when I remember I went to Encino Elementary and then Portola Junior High.
Sure.
And I remember, you know, taking three or four bus trips, field trips. You know, you have to have a trip slip signed.
Right.
And then, you know, they say you got to bring your own soda. And some, you know, the guys whose mom really gave an S about them really had a fancy lunch.
Yeah.
I had, like, whatever I put together for myself the night before. You know,
right.
Bologna, bread, a bag of chips, and an apple or something.
Right. The worst thing that has ever graced a lunch bag, which is the mini box of black raisins. That had about as much currency as like Confederate money after the Civil War. Like no trade. You couldn't get two raisins back for that. Like everything had a street value, you know, because the school yard was like the prison yard. And if you had a mini Snickers bar or something,
right,
you could own a guy. Like he'd give you a sister for the week
right,
for that. But zero currency for that that little Sun Maiden box.
Yeah, there were guys showing up with half-pound bags of M&Ms, and they were king.
Right. Yeah.
But we used to take field trips to, like, real crap out there. I mean, I remember one was to a park downtown. Another one was, like, Alvera Street. And Alvera Street, I don't think the kids go to anymore because you don't have to go all the way downtown.
No, you just, here's Alvera Street. What street do you live on?
Right.
There you go. As soon as you step out of your front door, you're in Alvera Street. Oh, yes, where are we going to find some Mexican culture in this town? I'd love to find a place I could get some Mexican food, hear some ranchero music.
You know, right. I mean, when we were kids, we had to go to Alvera Street for that.
No, and then it was also weird too because you'd go down Alvera Street and it'd be like, "These are Mexicans.
Right,
don't
exactly
touch them." Yeah, that was awesome. I will trump anyone's horrible, horrible field trip by telling you this. I took a field trip when I was in about the fourth grade to Eagle Rock to go to the Lawry's seasoning plant.
Wow!
And no child left without a miniature packet of taco seasoning.
Yeah, I know. And then mom goes home and whips up a meal and acts like she made them from scratch.
But could you find a topic or substance that a 11-year-old boy is less interested in than seasoning? You know what I'm saying? Do you think it exists?
Right.
Do you think there's a factory? If a factory made styrofoam packing peanuts, it would be infinitely more exciting than the Lawry seasoning plant.
Right. And it's just it's an early start with, you know, put these kids on you know, massive amount of salt in third grade,
right,
to get them you know, real healthy for their future.
But it was also it was such a thrill to be out of school when supposed to be in school
it didn't
matter. I mean, really, if the field trip was the drunk bus driver's just going to circle the block for an hour and a half and then drop you back off in front, you'd be in, right?
You're right, you're on.
Yeah, we physically get to leave campus.
I remember when I was a kid and I would occasionally forget my lunch at home, that I would never call my mom to say, yeah, I forgot my lunch, will you bring it to me? I'd rather go hungry all day than to get the wrath of Marianne Conway when she shows up with that lunch.
I had to do the humiliating meal ticket program.
Oh, yeah.
You know, the underprivileged kids. And by the way, let me just say this. I oftentimes think about my, you know, experience at Colfax Elementary and Walter Reed Junior High. These people could not make a hot dog or a hamburger, and McDonald's can make a perfectly fine hamburger and sell it for 39 cents.
Right.
How hard is it to F up? And by the way, This is to the palate of a seventh grader.
Right.
And not exactly what you call evolved. I didn't need a little sorbet to cleanse it before I got into my sweet roll. When you're in the seventh grade, you're basically a garbage disposal. You know, Pizza Hut makes the greatest pizza ever.
Right.
Pringles is the best potato chip ever. Kool-Aid is the finest substance that's ever passed your lips. And I could not stomach one of these hot dogs or hamburgers.
The hamburgers were actually not even brown. They were green.
They were greenish beige hue.
Yeah.
And they seemed as if they were boiled or heated in some fashion. And when you really get down to it, it was just institutional food. Like, it was literally prison food.
Yeah. They had that sort of like that rainbow sheen that comes off like a really old pigeon.
Right. Or when your car's, when your dad's like station wagon is dripping transmission fluid and it rained the night before, and you come off, you see a weird little rainbow in the puddle there. Yeah. And here's the thing: zero nutritional content in whatever the fish sticks, the hamburgers, the hot dogs. And this is, and by the way, you know this whole like kids, you know, they're our future. I don't think we were treated that way.
No, but you know what I think Mr. Carolla should have done is maybe, you know, not, you know, gone with the, you know, I don't know what his hobbies were, what he liked to do.
Nothing. Ignore his family.
But maybe, you know, because lunch, I believe, when I was in third grade was 40 cents. Remember when I went up to 45 cents?
Right, right.
And to save you the humiliation of on the program with the tickets, Pops, I think, should have laid, a quarter, a nickel, and a dime on you.
Yeah, but keep in mind, that would have been like giving your son 90 cents in today's money. You know what I mean? Oh, you have, Timmy, you have no idea how poor and how desperate the Carollas were growing up. It was frightening.
What did your dad do for a living?
Well, my dad was like a substitute school teacher the entire time I was growing up, and my mom was, you know, pretty much just welfare and food stamps, and they were separated. And my mom lived in this ramshackled house in North Hollywood that was her mom's second house that she just sort of let her screwed up daughter flop in. So that's the house I spent most of the time in. And then my dad, like again, he didn't have any vices or anything. He was like a substitute school teacher. I guess he made enough to just, you know, sort of barely get by. My mom never worked. And
how old were you when your parents split?
I think it must have been about 8 or 9, something
Oh, is that
like
right?
that. And I remember.
Did they have the sit down with you?
No. Well, it was funny because it was like, I don't know. It's like if you were in the hole of a prison and you found out there was a new warden and you were like, who cares? I'm in a hole. I'm not. Wait, how could this couldn't get any worse, could it? Oh no, this guy's a real disciplinarian. I know, but I'm already in a hole. What you think it's going to get worse? Like, I remember when those two broke up, I thought, first off, I used to look at my mom and go, "Oh, good Christ. Dad, what the hell were you thinking?" And then I'd look at my dad and go, "Holy Christ, woman, have some dignity." But when they broke up, I remember thinking, well, you two losers combined are like, you know, the power of 10. You need to be separated. So, number one. And number two, I just remember thinking, how much more could this suck? You guys just putz around the house giving each other the stink eye all day. Now you can go to your separate crappy dwellings and just putz around by yourself.
I remember when my dad sat me down and my mom was there and the six kids, and they said, it's over. I think I was like 14 or so. And there was six kids and some of them were pretty emotional. But I just remember looking over at my mom and wanting to say to her, I try to hold on here because I don't think there's anybody else is going to put up with that act.
Yeah, I know. Like,
I would use a little more of your marriage counseling certificates or, maybe an antidepressant or two. But you got to really hold on here.
How old was your mom at the time?
I think she was, let me see, I was 14, so she's probably 50, no, she's probably about 48, 49.
So she's got about the same currency in the open market as the mini packet of raisins we're talking about?
Right, yeah, but this packet of raisins was soaked in, like, Tabasco sauce.
So zero currency.
Right.
Yeah, the only, I mean, I didn't care. I knew they were both imbeciles and they should be apart. And they were so, they're like together they were depressed. Apart they were depressed. It didn't matter to me. I knew I was going to be miserable and poor. Anyway, either way, I was going to be using a, you know, lunch ticket to get an ice cream scooper of spaghetti.
Right,
by the
exactly.
way, when the ice cream scooper should be used for ice cream, not spaghetti. That means it's bad spaghetti. And only at schools and prisons do they use the ice cream scooper to put the spaghetti.
I know. And I like when, you know, there was a line for the cafeteria. And every meal was the same,
right?
But yet they didn't have all the meals ready to go.
Oh.
You know, they would sit there, wait, what do you want? Well, what do you got?
How badly would they F up pizza? They couldn't even do it. They couldn't even do it in a wedge. They do it in a square.
Yeah.
Just to make you angry.
Right. And then you go out, and I think kid bars were a dime, and those peanut butter cookies were a nickel. Those were a bargain.
The only positive thing that really came from my parents' divorce is watching my 44-year-old dad turn into Austin Powers overnight because he had to get back on the scene and get laid. So it was like, all of a sudden, the guy wearing the bad brown suits and the Fred McMurray leather dress shoes is coming out in platforms. He's looking like Elton John's playing Dodger Stadium. All of a sudden, my dad comes out and he's wearing flares and platform shoes, and he can barely walk. And I mean, you know, he looks like he's in the rhythm section of Santana or something. And I'm like, what the? He's wearing an Afghan shirt that's undone to his navel, and he's wearing clear glasses with a huge fro and a beard. He looked like the guy from Boston. And I was like, what the hell happened to the pathetic lump my mom married for the last 10 years? Like, it was 1976, you know?
Oh, yeah. He had
to make the scene.
You know, when my parents divorced, my mom sought after guys that did everything that my dad didn't want to do. These guys would take cruises, they'd play tennis, they'd dance, they'd play bridge.
Right.
But all of them had, you never knew what they did for a living. Mm-hmm. They all had their own business, but no real business address, and they were always available.
Are these the kind of guys that would introduce their dates as their lady friend?
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah, my lady friend.
Yeah, because those are the guys you got to look out for.
Right.
It's not the girlfriend. It's not the friend. It's not the wife. My lady friend.
But the second husbands are always, and all they do is, they're exactly the opposite of your dad, so you hate them. Because, you know, dad was cool. He didn't, he sat around, he watched football. I remember my dad during the Super Bowl, he'd put foil on the windows. We'd try to get as dark and cold in there as possible to watch the Super Bowl. And then this clown would come in, you know, with his other tennis friends and want to watch the U.S. Open tennis game instead of the football games.
Well, that's just gay right there. But let me say this. How the hell, like, as far as the step-parents go, I did some quick math on the step-parenting. My biological parents were lukewarm at best on their children. That was on a good day.
Right.
Could you imagine what the non-biological parents' reaction was going to be?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Well, you know, when I had a Mike Hennessy is a friend of mine in third grade and still today is a good friend. And whenever we went to his house, his mom was always happy to see us. She always stopped what she was doing to talk with us, whether we were there for 10 minutes or, you know, 5 hours. Always offering us, you know, can I get you some cookies? You guys want something to eat? Are you hungry? And very caring, you know, bright woman who was always upbeat. And I always thought to myself, man, wouldn't that be great to go through life with somebody who, like, gave a rat's ass about you like that? And then I even reduced that. I'd rather just go, you know, through life with a mom that just maybe simply ignored me rather than just hated me.
Well, you would have liked my mom. She locked herself in a room, stared at a biorhythm wheel and yelled, freak out.
Adam Carolla is with us, and we were talking about this week. But before I started working here at the station, I was a real low-end guy. I owed a lot of money to the IRS. I didn't have anything going on. I didn't own a refrigerator.
How much did you owe the IRS?
$128,000.
Holy. I owed like $4,500 to the IRS and thought it was insurmountable. And by the way, when you make the minimum payment, you're just making the minimum payment on the interest and the penalty.
Oh, yeah.
You never touch the principal.
No,
but anyway, go ahead.
But the IRS guys show up, and I'm sitting in my apartment, and they knock on the door, and I open the door, and my coffee table was an Igloo cooler at the time. So I have my feet up on it, and I said, "Hey, fellas, you want a cold one?" And they said, "No, we were here from the IRS. We want to talk to you about the money you owe us." And I said, "Well, obviously you can see I got nothing going on. I can take you down to the liquor store next door, and you can ask the guy, every time I buy a bag of ice, that means I'm on a date. You know, I'm trying to get some. And I also have inflatable furniture. I had the blow-up couch that had a couple of patches because I fell asleep smoking and popped my furniture." I don't know what the guy was looking for.
Jeez, $128,000,
yeah.
Did you do an offer and compromise?
Well, what I did is I didn't file for a long time, and they file you at the highest rate. So
you
go back and file, it gets lowered down. And I think we settled at like $38,000. I paid him $1,000 a month for like 800 years.
Jesus Christ, yeah.
But
I had lots of... one of these days, I'll come in there and I'll bring in my, Social Security statement or whatever the hell they sell you.
Oh, right. Oh, yeah, I got that, too. That's interesting.
Started my employment, like, 1979 at the Flask liquor store with, made $111, in 1979. But a lot of goose eggs in there.
Oh, I got a lot of goose eggs, too.
And I'm not talking about, in high school.
Yeah.
Or living at home goose eggs. I'm talking about, I'm doing the math on some of this goose eggs. Like, hey, I was 28.
Oh, yeah. I have three innings where I didn't get a run.
Yeah.
And that was, I think, 29, 30, and 31. And 32 wasn't a stellar inning either.
$2,000. One of these days, we should, because we both started working probably about the same time, we should go ahead and get our two Social Security statements, go from, the time we started working to the time we got into radio, and add up those. I swear to you, Timmy, if you added up the, 14 or 15 years of employment I had up until the point where I got into radio, you'd probably be at about... $31,000.
Well, I was underground for 11 years. I couldn't cash a check because they closed my bank account down. The IRS took it all, which was about $600. So every time I got paid from a company, I had to go to the branch where the bank, where that check was.
You had to go hammer the check. You couldn't go to your bank.
No.
You'd go to their bank.
But I remember getting paid by a company in Santa Monica, $2,800. And I look at the check and I go, oh, Christ, San Francisco. I had to get in the car on a Friday, slide up there before 2 p.m. on a Saturday and cash it. So now I got $2,800 with me. And the first thing I did? I went to Tahoe and blew the whole check.
Oh, my God, is that pathetic.
I checked into the hotel in Lake Tahoe. I'm sorry, it's actually lower than that. It was Reno. I went to Reno and checked in the hotel. And paid for two nights, lost all my money the first night, went back to the desk and said, hey, I'm not going to make it through the night here. Can I get tomorrow's night, payment for the hotel? Can I get that back in cash? And the guy goes, absolutely. And he gave me back like $72.
Really?
And I remember using that on the way home and got a flat tire on the way home, and that's where the $72 went. So,
jeez, like leaving Las Vegas.
Yeah, and I told my girlfriend these stories, and she didn't leave.
Well, it had to be the good Conway name.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ, I thought I was pathetic.
I remember when I was underground, I got paid, and I was getting paid through the station when I was still underground. I used to go across the post office and get cashier's checks, and you can get up to a $700 cashier's check. And the reason I did it at the post office, because then you could cash them at any post office.
And it's, I tell you, like when you the amount of calories you burn being poor and living off the grid, you know, like, okay, you know, when you just go all those times you'd head down to Van Nuys to pay the phone bill in right. person.
Right. I knew where it was. It's Van Owen and Van Nuys.
Van Owen and Van Nuys.
Yeah. And you sit there in that line.
You wanted to open the door and go, hello, losers. There'd be nine people in front of you in line. That
I started recognizing some of them.
Yeah, I was like, what is your story? How did you get here? You can't judge because you're behind the guy in the same effing line.
Right.
Yeah, the place used to be on Van Nuys right off of Van Owen.
Yeah,
month I was down there with the check because the phone was going to get shut off the next 20 minutes.
Yeah, it was the big Pacific Bell building. I was there right across the street from Arby's.
And it was always, down the street from the Super Shot. And I remember, it was funny though, because I remember thinking to myself, what the hell are you losers doing here? Meanwhile, I'm standing there with a beat-up pickup truck, you know, dieseling out in the parking lot while I'm standing in line with my check in my hand.
Right, and then you got the guy with the selling ice cream outside and them giving out parking tickets for more than you owe on the phone bill. But but that phone bill, you know, there was plexiglass there, and every guy had a story, man.
Right.
Every guy laid a story on the dude behind the glass on how this happened.
Well, I one time gave my Catholic little brother my calling card. He went nuts with some chick he met online in Kentucky, and they just shut my phone off without even telling me. I owed him $311. Literally just shut it off mid-month.
I know. And it is amazing, though. But you know what? I look back on those times, and I actually was less nervous and had more laughs and was enjoying myself.
I was miserable. I got to be honest with you. I swear to you, because I hang out with all the same guys. And, you know, now we go to the cool steak joints and we go where we want to go. We do what we want to do. And every once in a while, because it's the same guys, you know.
Right.
I just look at my old roommates, you know, literally sharing, you know, sleeping on a futon, three guys in a one bedroom, you know, sharing a futon and the whole thing. And every once in a while, my buddy Donnie will say when I'm complaining, you know, like I always say to him, look, if I knew it was going to turn out okay, I would have enjoyed myself.
Right, that's true.
I thought it was going to be 80 years of this. I thought it was going to be 80 years of sleeping on a futon with you and going down to Van Nuys and Van Owen to pay the phone bill.
You know, when you have, I heard this commercial on the way to work today, and there's a commercial about life insurance where, you know, if something happens to you, will your wife be able to stay in that house or will those kids be able to go to that school? And I'm thinking, wait a minute. Once you're gone, everybody's got to do a little scrambling. Why should they live in the same house and go to the same schools when you're gone?
I do like the
pressure
piece.
Should be on everybody.
I do like the one they always hit is peace of mind. Like, I'm dead.
Right. Yeah, they don't give an ass about you.
I have no mind. I have no peace and no mind. It's all on the ground.
Right.
And as far as they go, they're certainly further along than they were before they met me. Isn't that enough?
Right. Yeah, do I have to keep them there? For how many generations do I got to keep them in that house?
Yeah, like eventually my kids are going to have kids. Should I just leave off some cougarons or something so they can go to eat at the finest restaurants? Like, how many bars of gold should I leave behind?
Yeah, and I'm gone. You guys should be able to feel the pinch, too. I mean,
right, yeah.
You know, I took the ultimate, the ultimate cruise. I'm out.
Yeah. I don't want you. I don't want you mourning in a palace, watching a 90-inch plasma television. I want some real apartment mourning.
Oh yeah, and you know, and if you stick them in a one bedroom apartment with, you know, like a young son or son and daughter, or a couple of kids, then you won't have these guys coming around trying to F them either.
Right.
But you keep them up in that Hollywood Hills with those cars and that maid and that bank account. You're going to get a lot of guys knocking at that door.
Very good point. That's it. I'm canceling the life insurance. I wonder if my dad has life insurance.
I bet he doesn't. I bet my dad has some, but I think he's sort of exhausted on my brothers who have eaten up a lot of it.
I stopped leasing my dad his luxury car.
Oh, is that because he wouldn't drive it?
He wouldn't drive it.
Yeah.
And I told you that. He showed up for about the third time in the stepmom's, burnt orange Honda CRX, and I said, that's it. The literally, the ride is over. And he was like, why? What the F? You know? And I was like, you show up at my house, you never drive the car and lease you. And he's like, yeah, so what's the problem? And I said, but what if you... Now, my dad doesn't like anything except for the trumpet.
Right.
So he didn't even know what I was talking about. When I said, Dad, it doesn't feel good to me to have you show up in the stepmom's car, not in the expensive car that I lease you, every time you come to my house. And he just looked at me and said, I don't understand why that doesn't feel good. I said, you can't understand that? And he said, no, I don't understand. I didn't know there was conditions on the lease. I said, there's not conditions. It just doesn't feel good to buy someone a $50,000 car and have them never drive it to their house. You can't understand how that feels? And he said, I don't. I don't understand what that means. And I said, Dad, what if there's a guy you played the horn with? And on his 50th birthday, you went out and you spent a bunch of money and you got him the best flugelhorn made. I'm talking about triple polished black with, mother of pearl fingerings on it. And you got that guy the best horn ever. And then every time you jammed with him, he played the old dented horn. He never brought that thing.
Right.
Wouldn't you be PO'd?
Did he get it then?
He paused and he tried. He goes, I suppose he would have a reason. I said, cut the crap. You would be pissed. And then what if that same guy said to you a year later, hey, Jimmy, you know, I could use another horn. How fast would you tell him to F off? Okay, that's what we're dealing with here.
Yeah. And all he had to do is drive that car 3 times to your house.
One out of the 3 times.
Right, exactly. No. You've never saw the guy in the car.
Now, that's a shrewd businessman.
Oh, man.
Leave the Jag in the driveway. Take the Honda, which they own, by the way.
Right.
And don't put any miles on the car that's $8,000 under the lease, and it's going to be turned in a month.
Excellent.
Awesome.
All right, Carolla, thanks for coming on, buddy. And I heard some of the show last night. It was great, especially when you started talking about the NBC's new shows and death.
Oh, good times.
And that, I guess, is going to air on Monday. You got a 3-day weekend coming
up.
Yeah, right?
Buddy.
Look at you.
Look at me.
All right. Well, enjoy it, and maybe we'll do this again next week.
Yeah, I bet we will.
Yeah, and by the way, if you're at Amazon.com, buy that hammer.
I'll tell you what. Just go there and read the reviews.
Yes.
And after you get through the reviews, then you decide.
And listen to Carolla's show every Monday through Friday, starting at 6. Well, really 5, but sort of 6, right?
Yeah, yeah. Sure.
Yeah, 6 to 10 a.m. But, buddy, thanks for coming on. It's always an entertaining, half hour or so. And I truly think you're the funniest man in show business. So.
That's why I keep coming on, Timmy.
There you go.
No one else at the station likes it.
All right, thanks, buddy.
See you, Tim.
All right, take care. There he goes, folks. Adam Carolla, man. And I tell you, nobody makes me laugh. I hope he makes you laugh like that. But I seriously, every Friday, I get tears in my eyes. I'm laughing my ass off, man. That is a funny, smart guy. All right, it is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 Free FM.
It's so sad living at home, far from the city. And the midnight bug, it's so bad going to school, so far from me. And the dirty things that we do. I'm the king of the nighttime world. And you're
all righty, welcome back, everybody. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show live at 97.1 Free FM. And for the very first person to call me right now, I'm going to give you a $50 gift certificate. 520-9710 and 888-520-9710. And Gina, can you put that person's name up? The first person that calls right now is getting a $50 gift certificate to the Cellar in downtown Fullerton. Look at that.
Oh, man.
Yeah, the Cellar. Merrill, you're always down there, right?
What I would do with one of those right now.
Yeah. Hey, Merrill's here promoting his show or working on a show for a Saturday. How you doing?
Oh, hello, Tim. Hello. It's Schindler here on 97.1. It's Free FM.
All right.
And we're going to the Loose Goose Wine Festival soon, Tim.
Yes. We're going to give out tickets for that later on as well.
Oh.
Anyway, go to the Cellar, and your special event destination is the Cellar. It's cellardining.com, CELLAR dining.com. And from what I understand, that's a terrific restaurant.
Oh, the cellar. It's amazing. Yeah. It's almost as good as El Torito and Chef Pepe.
All right. Then the second prize. Hey, Randy, you get the second prize here.
I do?
Yeah. It's improv classes in Los Angeles at the Acme Theater. They teach you how to do voiceover, voice impersonation, and all kinds of improv as well.
Wow, I can't wait.
Yeah, you get a 2-year class for free.
That's awesome.
Yeah, hope you can enjoy that. All right, let's talk to Robert here. Hey, Robert, you're on 97.1. How you, dude?
Well, good evening, Conway. Fantastic now.
Yeah, you get $50, man.
I can use it, too. I really appreciate it.
Have you been to the cellar?
No.
Oh, all right. Well, it's in Fullerton. You're close to Fullerton?
Well, I know Fullerton. Yeah, yeah, about 10 minutes.
Excellent. All right, we'll get on down there. Congratulations, buddy.
You're the best.
All righty, there he goes. $50 gift certificate to the cellar downtown. Fullerton. All right, we're going to take a small break. We are going to get some commercials played because we went along with Corolla. We'll come back with the news with Gina Grand. What's going on with that news, Gina?
Well, Michelle Obama warns against voting for someone just because they're cute, and Meghan McCain gives Matt Damon a piece of her mind. We'll talk about this and more after the break.
Also, right now, it's the David Letterman Top 10 list, the top 10 new words.
It's words!
And they're new.
New! That's the tickets of your word!
All right, it's Letterman Top 10 list coming up. It is the Tim Conway Jr. Show. Back with the news and Gina Grad live on 97.1 Free FM.